I wish to extend a thank you to each of you for inviting me to be here with you today. I was supposed to have been here about a month ago, but I got the flu and laryngitis. And what does a preacher do when the preacher gets laryngitis? A very quiet sermon. Well, I have my voice back, as you see, and I'm glad to be with you today. My name is Robert Harvey. I am the rector at Episcopal Church of Our Savior, your next-door neighbors. We're the church just down there at the corner of Powder Mill and New Hampshire Avenue, and it's an honor for me to be here. Mostly what I want to say is thank you. I wanted you to hear me say that last month, but I could barely pronounce the words with the laryngitis, but I'm here to say thank you today, because your congregation reached out to mine during a particularly dark time in our congregation's history. Our congregation, as you probably heard, was defaced with a hateful, racist graffiti that made international, surprisingly international, headlines. The week after the inauguration, the election, I was going to church that morning and found the words scrawled across our Memorial Garden wall, "Trump Nation, Whites Only." And that was in the Memorial Garden where people are buried, where cremated remains are buried. And I walked to the other side of the church, and the banner that faces Powder Mill Road said it was advertising our Spanish service, and it, too, was defaced on the back with what appeared to be a magic marker, same message, and appeared to be sliced into with some kind of a knife or scissors or something. And I immediately called the police, and it was a Sunday, so we were right in the middle of our 8 o'clock church when the police arrived, and my assistant, Francisco Valle, he talked to the police, showed them what was going on. And within, I would say, probably about an hour and a half, the story went viral, literally across the globe. And not long that afternoon, we had our bishop and a few others, clergy of the area, show up and offer support, a press conference that day, and our neighbors reached out to us. That week, next week, was one of the most unusual weeks of my lifetime. Being interviewed was one of those myriad of things we always said they didn't teach us in seminary. How to handle the international media that was coming. We had the BBC. I heard from Singapore. Places I had to go look up on the map to figure out where they were. And I was overwhelmed by the support. But that next Sunday, November 20th, I'll never forget the date, we had people from the Jewish, we had four synagogues, three mosques, and you all join us, literally join us that Sunday by joining our two churches together with chalk markings up and down New Hampshire Avenue, linking our two churches together. And I was so overwhelmed by that show of support, we have pictures of all the messages, and that the one that we kept hearing over and over again was "Love Trump's hate." Okay, that's as close as I'm going to get to mentioning our current president's name. Okay? Love Trump's hate. That's it. Over and over again, we heard that, and I want to thank you for those messages of support you gave to us. Our congregation has felt very supported. Now, if you don't know, understand exactly who our congregation is, we are largely immigrants. My white face is a rare face at my church. Most of my congregation comes from Sierra Leone in West Africa. As we have, in descending order, we mostly have Sierra Leoneans, Liberians, Nigerian, Jamaica, and the Caribbean, many islands. And then we have people at our Spanish service from nearly every Spanish-speaking country in the Western Hemisphere. We have over 53 different countries represented in my one church. 85% of my congregation are immigrants. The past few weeks, my congregation is scared. And they have good reason to be. The current administration has so demonized immigrants that my congregation, the way I've said it, is it is an act of bravery to come to our church. Last week, we had an ICE raid. If you're unfamiliar with what ICE is, Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement. That's correct, isn't it? ICE. Right as our Spanish congregation was letting out at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, our Latino members started running back into the church. They were scared to death, and somebody yelled ICE raid right out in front where the Shell station is. The Homeland Security was right there. And I went out to talk with them, and I didn't see them at first. They had moved from the Shell station over to the 7-Eleven. And I was taught, since the inauguration, I went to the ACLU and told them about our congregation, and they gave me an app to put on my cell phone. They said, this device that you and I can't live without anymore, is your best tool. So I started filming the ICE raid, and I said to the one guy, he was there, and I said, is this an ICE raid? And he went like this. And it was one guy, and I said to him, I said, well, I want you to know I'm filming this. I said, why are you here? He said, I'm here to get a hot dog. That's what he said. I said, well, I want you to know I'm filming this. And he got in his car and he left. And later on, they said those guys never travel alone. They probably had two or three around the property. My congregation is afraid. It is an act of bravery to come to our church these days. And our numbers aren't down. Think about that. We have people coming to our church right now who are afraid. They have reason to be afraid. But we also, in my tradition, we take comfort from the words of the Bible. It says, perfect love casts out fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I wasn't the one who said those words. I was sitting in my board meeting, we call it a vestry in my church, and it was one of our Latino members who said this. He said, please, let me remind you, the Bible tells us this. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's what we're called to do. And so I learned a lot from my Latinos members that day. But I'm also learning a lot about our role in the world. Not too long ago, I got a book called Tikkun Olam. Anyone know what that phrase is? Anyone heard the phrase before? It's a relatively new book, but the concept is certainly not new. It's called Tikkun Olam is a Hebrew word meaning to repair the world, to repair that which is broken in the world. There's a lot that's broken in our world, a whole lot that's broken right now. People living in fear. They have reason to be afraid. But the Hebrew concept of Tikkun Olam is one that drives every ethical imperative that they observe. As a matter of fact, there's a funny little part of it, but it says that modern Jews often think of Tikkun Olam, fixing the world, as a core commitment to Judaism. In fact, in a national poll of American Jews in the Los Angeles Times, 50% listed a commitment to social justice as the most important factor of their Jewish identity, while only 17% cited religious observance. Think about that. But in other words, the ethical imperative they have is one of repairing that which is broken in the world. And they take that very seriously, wholeheartedly. Well, I do too. I actually, in my tradition, we observe the church year, and this past Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and people in the Episcopal Church always talk about, what are you going to give up for Lent? You're going to give up chocolate or alcohol or what have you, some creature comfort of some kind. I've been thinking a lot about what I was going to give up, and it kind of started after the graffiti incident. I'm giving up complacency. It was Martin Luther King Jr. who said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. I'm giving up complacency. Because as a white male, married, heterosexual male, living in this world, I've been kind of ashamed of myself. Because I've been sitting by and letting others suffer with my silence. I ain't going to be silent anymore. I know people are giving up Facebook for Lent. Maybe that's not such a bad thing. I'm not giving that up either, actually. I'm giving up complacency. I'm tired of being complacent, sitting back in my self-assurance, feeling kind of good about myself, and that's somebody else's problem. It's my problem, too. The sins of the world, the darkness of the world, the places of brokenness in the world, the places that sap the joy just out of us. That's my job to fix. Tikkun olam means to fix that which is broken. I want to share with you one little story about how... You remember the movie Pay It Forward with Kevin Spacey? He talked about the little boy who... Haley Joel Osment. He was before he was an adult. Now he's an adult, but when he was a little boy, he plays the part of a junior high class assignment about trying to make a difference in the world, which seems always overwhelming. But here's a kid who came up with the idea that if he can do just one good thing and let that person then do something good, that it could heal the wounds of the world. Tikkun olam. So what he did, he offered help to someone, and it was basically the star of the class. You know the story. And in the end, you keep paying it forward. The good you do, that person then does something else for two people, and then the two people then do it for four people and keep passing it on, and it becomes global. Well, inspired by that story, right after we had our racist graffiti incident at Our Savior in November, we had received letters from everywhere. All across Silver Spring, Hillendale, right here, the Hillendale Community Association wrote to us. We had letters from everywhere, but particularly from the Muslim Community Center. 1 week before Christmas Day, Christmas fell on a Sunday, this was the Monday before, the Muslim Community Center children wrote over 550 cards of support to my church. We don't have that many people in my church. I still have a lot left over. I gave one to every parishioner on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and I still have more. 550 letters of support. Your messages of support meant so much. I still have that candle that you all gave us sitting right in our entranceway as people come in our door. But what we did to pay it forward, and I'm going to read a little bit of this. This is actually from Michael Feinstein, who is the president and chief executive officer of the Bender Jewish Community Association. I was there the other day, by the way, when we had a press conference about the anti-Semitic violence that's been going on in our country. It's funeral at cemeteries, and at they've received many bomb threats there. But I want to read his letter to us, and it's also a response to his community about some of the letters. What we did was I had our Sunday school teachers had our children then write letters to the Bender Jewish Community Association. Okay, this is what he says. Some days I wake up and I barely recognize the country I live in. Following the election, the surge in hate crimes and incidences, both nationally and locally, they really shook me. While we seem to be past the spike, well, this was written before some of the more recent ones, every week I read about anti-Semitic and other hate crimes against people and property throughout our country. We can now add bomb threats here at Jewish Community Center and other Jewish institutions in the latest hate crime. On January 9th, our center was one of 16 Jewish community centers in 9 states that received bomb threats. While they all turned out to be hoaxes, they required evacuation and created a high level of anxiety. 10 days later, almost 30 Jewish community centers, not ours this time, from across the country, again received bomb threats. All were hoaxes, but nonetheless disrupted operations and created additional concern. Again, remember, there were lots of children, young children, there at the time. What has felt like a pretty dark January brightened considerably, however, and unexpectedly. First, I received an email from an Evergreen Islamic Center in San Jose, California, expressing their distress by the bomb threats we received. We're writing to express our solidarity with you and to offer our support. You are in our prayers. Please let us know how best we can help you. The following day, I received an oversized envelope from the Reverend Dr. Robert Harvey, rector of Church of Our Savior in Silver Spring. This church was vandalized with a hate message immediately following the election. At that time, the church was overwhelmed with messages of support from neighboring churches, mosques, and synagogues throughout the D.C. area. Reverend Harvey wrote, "Now it is our turn to reach out to you, standing proudly with you as our neighbors and friends. We hold you in our thoughts and prayers." The envelope was filled with cards expressing touching messages of hope and love written by their children in their Sunday school. We've been the target of hatred, but this show of support from across the country and across faith groups is truly a gift of love that we need. Reverend Harvey's letter shared a quote from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." There is a little more light and love in the world that's directed our way, and this is the country I know and love. That is the country I know and love. That is the country that I love living in, a country that welcomes all immigrants, where we don't demonize immigrants, where we don't demonize people of other faith groups, where we consider the very best of ourselves, particularly here in Silver Spring, the fourth most diverse city in the United States of America. Montgomery County, one of the most diverse places in the entire United States of America, the most diverse city, Gaithersburg. Think about that. The fourth most diverse cities in the United States are here in Montgomery County. You're living in one. We consider that our asset. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm giving up complacency. I'm going to speak out whenever the microphone is held to my mouth, as it is right here, by the way. The BBC said this to me that next day after the graffiti. The interview after it was done, he said to me, he said, "You know, you and your congregation have been handed the microphone not of your choosing. Don't put it down." I'm not gonna.